Good morning, everyone. We still have 2 minutes. I'm early. Okay. So before we start, we like chant the verse for beginning the sutra. Chinese first.
无上甚深微妙法，百千万劫难遭遇。 我今见闻得受持，愿解如来真实意。
The unsurpassed, profound, and sublime Dharma is difficult to encounter even in a billion aeons. Today we see, hear, receive, and uphold it, vowing to fathom the true meaning of the Tathagata. Thank you. Do you feel that way, like what it says on the paper? 我们刚刚在念开经记哦，你有没有觉得很有同感？ 百千万劫难遭遇， like it's difficult to encounter even in a billion aeon, the Supreme Dharma. So, 这位菩萨是说。 他有曾经读过，说我们这个佛经啊，他在可能久卷就是很一段时间以后，他慢慢的就被别人淡忘了，可能我们就没办法学到佛法了，所以呢，他觉得应该是我们应该算是蛮幸运的，可以来学到佛法。那其实最重要的是说，我们在学佛的时候，我们的心态是不是真的觉得是百千万劫难遭遇？ 如果是这样的话，我们就会非常的珍惜。然后我们如果珍惜的去修学，那佛法就会一直流传下去。So the most important part is if we have this attitude to learn the Dharma, then we can get the most benefit out of it, and also the Dharma will continue because of us. Okay, so today we continue the Sutra of Complete Enlightenment. And we get to, we almost, today and then two more, we will finish 12 Bodhisattva. 那我们今天要继续讲圆觉经哦。那圆觉经的12位菩萨，我们今天已经讲到第10位了哈。那今天讲完之后还有两位菩萨，所以大家知道说它快要开始结尾了哈。So you will know that, you know, this sutra is trying to conclude. Made some conclusion. Okay. So, as you remember, last week we talked about Bodhisattva of cleansed all karmic obstructions. We have major four obstructions. Is the four phenomena that we will attach to the self, the concept of self, is, do you remember? The phenomena of self, the phenomena of person, the phenomena of sentient being, and the phenomena of life. Okay, let me change.
I don't know, I can hear you, but I don't think you can hear
that. Is this better? Better?
Yes.
Okay, let's speak louder. 那我们上个礼拜讲的是净住业障菩萨，那这个菩萨呢，在问的问题基本上佛的回答是告诉我们，我们基本上有修行有四个大障碍，也是在《金刚经》常常讲的，四相，如果不离四相，修行无益，那是哪四相？我相、人相、众生相、受者相。 所以不管怎么修行，如果遇到这四种的执着，一定要把它放下。 那接下来就是一个普觉菩萨。So next is Bodhisattva of Universal Enlightenment. He, upon hearing what Buddha said in the previous chapter, then this Bodhisattva rise and ask questions. Yeah, that's very, very important. That's very important to know so that we won't attach and so we can use the method successfully. But you know, Buddha, you might die, you know. Then we will be far away from all the Buddhas and saints and good teachers. And so who should we follow to, you know, when we practice or learn in the Buddha Dharma? And you know, and we should count out what we should count out, what kind of Dharma we should count out, and how to practice, and if you know, and then how to prevent any faults during practice, and how should we initiate our Bodhi mind so that we can continue our practice. So you see, the question is very long, just like when before Sifu passed away, you know, all the president leaders in our group, everyone wants to ask Sifu question, you know, so many questions to ask, because our master is passing away. Then what are we going to do? Even when Buddha passed away, you know, Ananda asked Buddha, you know, what should we do? Right? So a whole list of questions. 那这个普觉菩萨呢，就听到前面的菩萨哈问的问题，那知道说要离四相，那他就起来很赞叹的说：“哎呀，这个真是很有用哈！这样我教我们呢，在修行的时候要怎么样哈，不要陷入执着。但是呢，佛呢也快要示现涅槃了哈，所以呢。”普觉菩萨就来帮我们问说，我们这个末代的众生哈，已经看不到佛了，可能贤人圣人哈，也都隐藏起来了哈，因为这个世界太乱了。那我们要去跟谁学？然后要学什么样的法？然后我们会有没有什么样的一种特别说禅定？我们修行禅的时候会有什么样的禅病，然后呢我们要怎么样发心才能够在修行的道上一直持续的不断。那大家知道说这个问题就一串了，那大家也知道说我们在台湾师父要圆寂的时候，每个人心中都有好多的问题要问师父，因为是最后的机会了，所以大家就要拼命的问说我要怎么办啊，在法鼓大学要怎么办啊，这个要怎么弄啊，僧团要怎么样啊。那佛陀要示现涅槃的时候也是嘛，阿难代表大众问了佛很多的问题，佛你涅槃之后我们要怎么办，那佛就说了以戒为师嘛。好， So I will just summarize in three aspects to share what the questions and the Buddha's answer. So the first is, what kind of people should we seek to follow? This is a very important question. And this is very important that we can find a good teacher. And Shifu always say that we have to find a good teacher, because a very good experienced teacher can save you a lot of time. So in the sutra, Buddha says that you have to find a teacher that has correct views. It's more important than that how much he attained the samadhi. The correct view is the most important, is the minimum requirement of a true teacher. And what is the correct view? The the views of causes and consequences, the view of causes and conditions, and the view of middle way. These three views are the core principles of Buddhism, and these three views are the unique for Buddhism than other religions. 那我们应该要怎么样能够找到一个好的老师呢？师父常常提醒我们一定要找一个有经验的好老师，这样子的话我们在学佛的路上可以省掉很多的时间跟力气。好，那什么样才叫做好的老师呢？那这经文上就有讲到说一定要具备佛法的正知见，他比这个老师是否有很深的禅定经验来得更重要。因为禅定的经验是个人的，可是正知见是要传给大家的。那哪几个正知见呢？第一个要有因果观，第二个要有因缘观，第三个是中观。这三个观念呢是佛法核心的理念，也是不共外道，就是跟别的宗教不一样的地方，就是因缘观、因果观跟中观。 So what is the view of causes and consequences? These principles describe that everything happens is interconnected with the past, present and future. You cannot just talk about present or talk about the present life. We have to think about the past life, present life, and future life in order to explain the phenomena that we see in this world. For example, if you are a very good person, you always try to benefit others, but bad things still happen to you.And you will blame, you know, the Buddha has no eyes, no justice. I'm such a good person. And I chant, I prostrate, I do everything. Why bad things happen to me and why I still get sick? We forget about the past that we have done. And also what you are doing or what you have done this life will affect or change your life in the future. So there is no such thing, you know, I do this in vain. Everything has its cause and has its consequence. So, you know, Shifu always remind us, don't try to seek a supernatural power to resolve our difficulties in life or to relieve our pain from the sickness.Because it's against the causes and consequences, the law of causes and consequences. It's like, you know, you are in debt and you try to steal money from others to repay your debt. It's not right. It's against the law of causes and consequences. Okay, so we have to face the consequences and try to plant more good seeds so that in the future we have a better consequences. 所以第一个观念叫做因果观。因果观它最重要 的点呢是在于说所有世间的一切现象在时间上都是相互关联的，在过去、现在、未来的时间点上它是相互关联的。所以很多人他会说，我从小到大我是一个很好的人啊，我常常布施，我常常帮助他人，那为什么不好的事情还是会发生在我的身上？为什么我还是生病？那佛菩萨没有长眼睛啊，好人没有好报，那我们会就去抱怨，可是我们忘记了我们过去所做的一切，我们今生承受的东西是过去的果， 那我们今天这辈子所做的好事情是未来的因，所以它不会不见，它不会好像说我的努力是白费的，就是因果的观念，它是因果不爽，过去现在未来要一起考量。 So I remember 师父openly say, you know, tell us, don't ask me how not to get sick, how not to get old, because I am sick, I am old. But you can ask me how to get sick but not suffer. And you can ask me how to have a wonderful last stage of life.That's the Dharma. Don't try to change the consequence of getting old or the consequence of being sick. Accept it, but your mind can be happy. 所以师父常常就说，你们不要来问我，不要来问我说怎么样可以不要变老，怎么样可以不要生病，因为我是一个老人，我是一个病人，但是呢，你们可以来问我怎么样病得不痛苦，怎么样痛而不苦，然后怎么样可以有一个美好的晚年。这是佛法它的功能，让我们接受果，可是我们的心是快乐的，这是师父常常提醒我们。Then the second is causes and conditions. So, what happens if you plant a seed but it's not growing? Like, you know, what is that, tomato? No tomato come out.Because you plant it in the winter, right? So the causes and condition is we plant the good karma, but you need to wait until the condition to be ripened in order to see the consequences. So if you work hard, if you have a good family, good relationship, good career,But suddenly, you lost all of them. Will you suffer? How you handle it? I think we talk about that. Your success, your healthy, is because the condition. You see, because the stock market is good.Because the government is very stable, because there is no war, so you make a lot of money. But when something happens outside this country, it will affect your wealthy, affect what you have, and it might take away your loved one's life. It's all about condition. So we have to take itas they are and not attached to what we have, because everything happened to us depends on the condition. 第二个观念呢是因缘观，当我们种下的因，那为什么不会结果呢？就像我们在后院种番茄，种了半天为什么没有结番茄呢？因为我们是在冬天的时候种下去的，因为它的 condition， 它的这个条件还没有成熟，所以它是不会结果的。那在我们这个生命当中哦，我们常常有人会哇，生意很成功，赚很多钱，哇，有很好的家庭，幸福美满的家庭，一切如意。可是忽然之间呢，有一件事情发生的时候，你失去了所有的东西。 那我们就要想到说，其实当我们拥有的时候呢，它是因缘如此，当我们失去的时候也是因缘如此。我们的成功，我们的如意，不是我们个人造成的，是整个大环境的造成。可能是因为这个 股票市场非常的繁荣，可能是因为政府非常的稳定，可能是因为这世间没有战争，所以呢我们在那个因缘之下赚了很多的钱。可是忽然之间，可能在世界的某一个角落，它忽然发生了某一件事情，它会影响你的财富，甚至会夺走你亲爱的人的生命。这时候你的生活就从此得大重大的改变。可是总的来说，因缘如此，我们就是坦然的接受它。So if a teacher tell you, you just do what I say, I guarantee you make a lot of money, or you will get enlightened in this life. Is that a good teacher? Will you believe?如果有一个老师跟你讲说，你只要跟着我就对了，我说什么你就做什么，我保证你赚大钱，我保证你这辈子就开悟成佛，你们要跟吗？他是一个好的老师吗？ So no matter what you hear, you can useThe principle of causes and consequences and causes and conditions to evaluate, is that the correct view or not? Okay, and the third very important correct view is the view of middle way. So, like for a practitioner, in the beginning, we are easily, Wow, this world is so bad, I have to practice. I need to get enlightened. I want to see my Buddha nature. I don't want to bury in this worldly phenomena, all the hard work, children, business, so much trouble. I want to leave home and go to the other shore. So that's called too extreme.You want to let go of this and you want to go to the other side. And when you practice, you sort of attach to one extreme and switch to the other extreme. For example, people will think, I practice, so I have to practice hard. I shouldn't eat. I shouldn't sleep. I should go to the mountain. No talking.Then I will get enlightened soon. So I remember there is a story about a practitioner. He is so proud of his practice. He practiced so hard that he can use his bare feet to walk on ice for a long time. And so people start to praise him. Wow,such a great practitioner. He is so powerful. He can do that. And then so there's a master, upon hearing that, he said, wow, look, what a great practitioner. Look at those ducks. They can work barefoot on the ice too. But,第三个观念就是中观了，尤其当我们刚开始修行的时候，我们会厌恶这个娑婆世界，太污浊了，这个商场上啊，家庭太多太多的麻烦事，我们应该要好好的修行，到从此岸到彼岸，我们应该要放弃烦恼，追求涅槃， 我们应该离家，好，我们应该不要吃饭，不要睡觉，努力的修行，到山上去，不要讲话，这样我们就可以很快的证悟。那师父说，我们是从一个极端跑到了另外一个极端，这不是佛教正确的观念。所以师父在书上有提到一个故事，那有一个人哦，他很自豪他的修行，他修行的功力可以到说他赤脚走在冰上不会受伤，不会冻伤，他就拼命的，然后他就走在那边秀给大家看，然后村民看了就很高兴说，哇，好伟大的修行人哦，居然可以做到这样子。那旁边有一个 master 哈，看到了就说，啊，你看好伟大的修行人哦，你看那些鸭子，他们也可以赤脚走在冰上没有受伤。所以呢，这是一个笑话了哈。这个故事是告诉我们说，修行不是因为用苦恨或是用一些身心的反应来显现我们到底有没有修行。 So practice is not about the experience or the power you generate from your body and mind. It's a matter of can you have a happy mind? Can you always be your Buddha nature?所以修行它最重要的不是你的身心的特殊能力或特殊现象，而是你的心可不可以一直处于平安快乐然后没有烦恼的状态。 So the sutra next day, not just that, with the correct views,and the great teacher will not abide in any phenomena, neither attach to the realm of Saravaka and Pratipatikabuddha. Means the four phenomena we described in the previous chapter. No abiding. And also, you will not attachto the attainment of Saravaka, which is very deep samadhi. You won't attach to the samadhi and think that this is the ultimate path that you have achieved. 那在经文中又提到说，一个好的老师呢，他不仅呢要有佛法的正知见，同时呢他的心不住于相，也就是我们刚刚前面讲的四相，有没有？不住于我相、人相、众生相、受者相，同时呢也不着声闻缘觉境界，就是说不会去执着声闻缘觉所得到的一种定境，不会觉得这个身定是最究竟的。那这是一个好的老师的一个标准。 And nextHow we can see that a teacher is a good teacher? You know, why we know that he's a good teacher? A good teacher that, from the sutra, it says that though they are exceedingly manifesting in the worldly affliction, his mind is always pure. In other words, he is stillworking, living as we are in this samsaric world. You know, they need to work, they need to talk, they need to communicate with people, they need to cook, they need to eat. They have to do a lot of things that just like us. But their mind is always pure. 那接下来呢，一个好的老师他在日常生活会怎么样子来视线呢？在经文上说，虽现尘劳，心恒清净。什么是尘劳？尘就是那个灰尘哈，灰尘的尘，劳就是劳苦的劳，就是说他每天呢还是忙于很多的事情，就像我们一样， 每天要工作啊，然后每天呢要关怀信众啊，每天呢要跟别人互动啊，同时呢也要煮饭啊，也要打扫啊，上厕所啊，通通都要，这些尘劳都没有说避免，但是他的心呢却永远一直保持在清净当中。 Then I would like to share, you know, a lot of people told us, you know, all the monastics in Dhammajang Mountain work too hard. You know, we have to work very long, like sometimes 12 o'clock midnight, we don't have time, we can't go to bed, and you know, we have so many things to do. And they think it's, they took pity on us, you know, all the monastic. And they also think that Sifu was, his life is too hard. You know, he didn't need to do that much. But you know, here I would like to share what Sifu wrote in his book. He said that when he read a story about Master Hui Si, he was very touching. And Shifu said, you know, Master Hui Si, he's a great master. And during the day, he had to handle and deal with a lot of affairs from the monastic and the followers. But during the night, he sits through the whole night and practice diligently. So he day and night practice like that, and then you see he attend he get his realization. And Sifu say that I was very sick for my whole life. My karma is very heavy. I was born to be a hardworking person. But I entered the Chan door is when I was in the army, when I had very heavy work. During that time, in 24 hours, I had to split 3 periods to take turn on duty. At that time, I was very sick. My work is heavy. But I still, you know, try to find time to read sutra, to prostrate, to meditate. I'd practice diligently and continuously. My religious experience is not happened in my solitary retreat. And my mind view of Buddha Dharma is not established during my PhD study in Tokyo. So that's why I encourage everyone and remind everyone that the busiest people has the most time and the hardworking people has the best health. 很多人哦，都跟我们哦，信众很关怀法师啦，常常会跟我们的法师说，法鼓山的法师太辛苦了，我们常常有时候工作到晚上12点还不能睡觉，我们不能一天到晚打坐，所以很多的菩萨都觉得我们很可怜呐，就是尤其跟着法鼓山跟着师父也是劳碌命嘛，那我们法鼓山的法师就是一天到晚就是忙很多的事，不能修行。那不能修行是另外一回事，是我们自己的业报了，是我们自己不够精进，这跟劳碌命没有关系。所以我现在要分享一段师父在500罗汉的时候，500罗汉闯江湖的书里面写到这么一段，我跟大家分享。师父这么说的，他说慧思禅师的毅力愿力是非常值得我们学习的，尤其是他昼白天则驱驰生事，生重事物， 忙得不得了，夜则坐禅达旦，晚上呢他就打坐一直到天亮，没有睡觉，终于误入三昧，这是我最应福音的。我本人虽然没有办法跟慧智禅师相比，但是呢我一生多病，业障很重，生来就是个劳碌命。我从禅修得到一个入处，是在军中工作非常吃重的时候，无分白天夜晚，每天24小时都要分三班来轮流值班。当时我身体多病，工作又忙，却仍旧每天抽空看经、拜佛、打坐，全心投入，锲而不舍。因此，当我读到慧思禅师这一段记事，很受用。师父说哈，我的宗教经验并不是在山里闭关才发生的，我的佛学基础也不是到东京留学才建立起来的。这也就是为什么我说，盲人时间最多，勤劳健康最好这两句话。那我也在这边跟大家分享，我们居士呢，不管出家在家，我们都在尘劳之中，很多家务事，很多的俗事要处理，可是每天还是可以抽空来精进。学师父一样，那师父才是真正我们的老师啊。 So no matter is lay person or monastic, we always have many things to do. So we have to learn from Shifu. You know, every day, save some a little time, a little piece of time to practice, and practice continuously. We have to learn from Shifu, so that Shifu is our real teacher, and we are the real disciple of Shifu. Then next, a great teacher, he will still make mistakes, but he still prays the pure action. A lot of people think, you know, a great master shouldn't make mistakes. They even shouldn't go to the toilet or take shower. You know, they should be like a god. They don't need to eat, no shower, no toilet, no daily chore. No. In the sutra, it says even a great teacher will make mistakes, but they will admit their mistake, and they will tell their disciples not to repeat the same mistake as they did. And they will praise the pure action. They will praise the people uphold the precept. I remember, Chang Yi Fa Shi, she told me that when she was still a layperson, more than 10 years ago, and she worked as a volunteer here. So one day, someone told Shifu something about her doing something. And so Shifu just go to her and say, "Why you do this?" And he was so mad. And she said, "Who say so? Says who? I didn't do that. How can people misunderstood me like this?" And then she just fight with Shifu. In the end, Shifu apologized to her. No matter is that a misunderstanding or not, then Shifu apologized to a lay person. Say, "I made a mistake. Please forgive me." 那接下来呢，身为一个好的老师呢，他呢也会犯错的。好，不是说好像圣人一样哈，或是天仙成仙了哈，不洗澡不吃饭不睡觉了哈。那一个老师他还是一个人嘛，他还是会犯错误。 但是呢，是由诸阔他赞叹梵恒，就是说，当他在生病，他做错事情的时候，但是他会承认，而且他会告诉他的弟子说，不可以犯同样的过错，而且他会非常赞叹那些没有犯错的人，而且是持戒清净的人。我记得长义法师曾经跟我讲，他十多年以前在这边当义工，还是居士的时候当义工，那不知道发生什么事情，现在就有义工呢就去跟师父告状，说长义法师怎么怎么怎么的，那师父就跑去长义法师那里说，你为什么这样子做？那当时长义法师非常的生气，师父你怎么谁说的，怎么可以这样误会我？哇，就非常生气的跟师父就不能讲说干嘛，就是闹起来了。后来师父跟他道歉，说对不起。你想想看，我们的师父跟居士道歉，不管这件事到底是不是对与错，那师父他会承认他做错，他说错了，他听错了，然后他跟你道歉。那我们呢？我们是不是常常会承认自己的错误呢？我们连跟同辈之间都不想承认错误了，更何况跟你的弟子跟你的学生说对不起，我说错了，我做错了，师父就做得到。那师父会常常赞美那些这个言行举止是个非常严谨的人，是不是？ Then 师父 say that the sutra says that you know if you find such a person in your life as a teacher you can even offer your life. That's why I ask you, you know,Do you feel that this supreme Dharma is difficult to encounter even in a billion eons? If you feel that way, you will try your best. You will like take this very seriously. And so does a good teacher. If you find a good teacher.It's difficult to encounter even in a billion eons. A sutra says that you can even offer your life. Why is that? Because a good teacher will give you a wisdom life. And our living life, it's finished in 80 years. But your wisdom life will continue.Life after life is more precious than your physical living. And Shifu say, give an analogy about offering to a teacher. Shifu say that when you offer a good teacher, it's just like, you know, you feed the cow. The cow is a good teacher. You feed grass to the cow. And And it will generate milk to feed you back. For us, we cannot eat grass. It's not edible, right? We cannot get any nutrition from grass. But a good teacher, they can digest the looks very useless, priceless thing. Not priceless. Not very, what? Worthless thing.But they can digest and feed you with milk, nutritious milk, money, time, clothes. For us, maybe it's a very precious thing, but for a good teacher, it's illusory, it's nothing, not a valuable thing to them. But when you offer him, he take it.You have merit, and then he give you a real Dharma that will feed your wisdom life. 那 所以呢，在刚开始的时候，一个好的老师哈，在经文上讲，他说如果你可以发现这样的人哈，就刚刚讲的一个这样的一个好老师哈，你要供养他，不惜生命。那我刚刚经文讲的开始的时候，我不是问大家说，我们在念这个开经偈啊，讲到说无上甚深微妙法，百千万劫难遭遇的时候，你们是不是有同样的感受？如果你有同样的感受，你在听到佛法的时候，你会非常的珍惜它。同样的，一个好的老师也是百千万劫难遭遇。所以呢，当我们遇到一个这样的好的老师的时候，你甚至可以把命都给他，供养他。所以呢，师父在书中就讲到一个故事，一个比喻了。他说供养你的老师啊，他就像是喂牛吃草一样，牛吃了你的草之后呢，可以产生牛奶来滋润你，滋润你的法身慧命。那我们凡夫哈，没办法吃草，更不要讲产生营养了。好，那我们供养了什么？钱啦、衣服啦、食品啦，这些对一个好的大修行人来讲呢，其实就跟草一样，其实是没有什么价值的，这只是世俗上的一些东西而已。可是我们用诚心诚意的去供养老师，那么他会用真正的佛法来教导我们，来滋养我们的法身慧命，我们的生命一起过了就结束了，可是我们的法身慧命呢，是一世一世一世的累进，所以这是一个不一样的地方。那对于供养呢，它又是一门的学问。About the offering, sometimes people will compete. You know, it's only $100. I donate $200, just like a bid, you know, so that they can show I'm more important than you. I'm more significant than you. So they try to compete. It happens to Chinese society. You know, like you offer rice, then I will offer you tofu. You know, they think it's kind of like a sign of sincerity. But this was always remind us, don't compete. Use your heart to do the offering. And evaluate, estimate your ability, and try your best to offer. And the more you offer, means the more determination you have. But compare to yourself, not to others. So if you only have $100, you donate $90, $10 for your food. If you have $10,000, then you donate what? $9,000, $1,000 for your food. But if you have $1,000,000, will you donate 90% of it? I don't know. So it's kind of it's an art to offer, but the important part is your mind, is your determination to let go and to offer your teacher. You see, we can even offer our lives. $10,000, $1,000,000, your house, is that worth more than your life? Of course not, right? 所以当我们在布施，它是一门学问。很多人尤其是在中国的社区里面，常常在布施的时候，大家都会比较的。好，来到师父面前，你捐100块，我就捐200；那我捐1000， 哦，好像在那个什么标古董一样啊，竞价了。那这时候的心态是什么？是你的这个对师父的这个诚心的供养呢，还是你想要在师父面前啊，就说你看我多发心啊，我的发心比他还多。师父说哈，不要比较。虽然供养能够让你练习说你的决心，可是你要跟自己比啊。假设说你现在100块了哈，你捐90块嘛哈，那10块是我这个月这个礼拜的伙食费。嗯，哇，你很发心的。那如果你有10000块了，你想说我捐9000，1000块是我的伙食费，那也 OK。那如果你有100万，你愿不愿意捐多少？90万？大概不会哈，不是这样哦。但是如果你是一个穷人，你捐90块，他是他所有财产的90%哦。如果你是一个很有钱的人呐，90万可能只是你的一点点财产哦，可能是零头哦。可是你不会去这样捐嘛哈，所以你要跟自己比说，那我到底能不能就是越捐到我，甚至我不 care 我的财产。那在经文上说，你甚至把你的命都可以供养了，那钱算什么？房子算什么呢？那如果你还不能像，那你是绝对不可能哦供养你的生命的啦。但是经文上告诉我们说，你看哦，如果你真的遇到这样的一个老师，你真的可以把你的命供养给他，你就知道说这个老师多么难找了。 OK, next, if we can find a good teacher when we practice, there are some faults that we have to prevent. Actually,Shifu say that this fault will not happen to us, ordinary practitioners. It will happen to the master. Question?
You said that a good teacher has to have a pure mind. Does that mean that the good teacher has to be enlightened?
Oh, the question is very good. They all say that, the sutra say that the good teacher always have a pure mind. Does that mean that the teacher has to get enlightened? 问题是说，我们刚刚讲说哈，一个好的老师是心恒清净，对不对？那是不是表示一个老师一定要都开悟啊？ What do you think?Well, Shifu say it's hard to pick teacher, and it's hard for us to tell what the enlightened attainment the teacher is at. It's, you know, if a teacher tell you I'm enlightened, don't trust him. Right? So enlightened teacher won't tell you I'm enlightened. So how can you tell is he enlightened or not?是不是？就是说，师父常常讲说，我们这些弟子哈，程度不是很高的弟子，其实很难去判别一个大修行人他的程度到哪了。那如果有一个人来跟你讲说，跟我吧，我开悟了，你们要相信吗？不能相信啊！啊，通常开悟的人都不会跟你讲说他开悟，那我们程度又不够，又不能知道老师到底开悟了没有，那怎么办呢？So that's why the sutra say, you know, if we can evaluate, you know, if they in among the heavy work, will they still, you know, the minds calm? For example, will they get mad easily? Or curse people all the time? Or complain all the time? If one person do that, the mind is not pure.Right? And also, will they admit their mistakes? even enlightened people will make mistakes. Will they admit? Will they praise the pure action? Will they say, you know, alcohol is good, go drink alcohol? They won't ask you to break the precepts. So only for a disciple, what we can do is to see if the teacher has correct views or not. You know, their teaching will their teaching follow the principle of causes and what consequences, causes and conditions, and the middle way. And watch their daily life, how they behave. That's the only thing we can do. But of course, it's good that if the teacher is enlightened. Okay. 所以呢，为什么经文上讲啊？说哦，虽现尘劳，心恒清净，似有诸过，赞叹反恨。就是我们要在日常生活中看看这个老师教的是不是有违背因果因缘跟中道的法则。那我们在日常生活中看他是不是工作的时候常常会生气，像我们这种就是不是好的老师，就是常常会生气啊，也会抱怨啊。一天到晚起烦恼啊，那个心就不清净嘛，哈，不是在很稳定当中。那他会不会承认他的错误呢？即便是一个开悟的人，都会做错事情的。他愿不愿意承认他的错误？然后他会不会教导学生说啊，我这个错误没有什么啦，你也可以啦，没关系啦，喝酒也 OK， 抽烟也没关系。他不会让我们去破戒，我们要从这方面去评估。因为我们的能力没有办法真正看到老师的程度在哪里，但是我们可以依着经文告诉我们的一些指标去观察。那最重要的 the most important part is the next that will happen to the master is if they have the four faults, four chain sickness。 那接下来就是很重要一个评估老师的标准，就是说他们这些老师有没有犯了禅病，有没有得了禅病。 The four sickness only happen to a great practitioner and will happen to master teachers. And I have to emphasize these four sickness or four faults. Why we call it sickness is becauseThe attitude is not right. Doesn't mean that it won't happen during your practice. It's an experience that you will encounter when you practice, but you cannot attach to it and think that it is ultimate. It is the end of the practice. If you have this attitude, it becomes your sickness. It becomes the fault of the teacher.Because if the teacher will make you stop your practice. So what are those four faults or four sickness? 那在讲这个四病以前呢，我要强调的是说，这个四病是指一个态度而言，修行的态度，不是指说修行的经验而言。这四个病我们在我们修行的过程当中，我们都会经过那样的体验。可是如果我们执着那个体验是最究竟的，或是执着它就是修行的完成的话，那它就变成你的禅病。你的态度不对了的时候，你面对这些修行的体验，用不对的态度去面对你的修行的体验的时候，那么它就变成你的禅病，变成你的错误。Okay, so the first one is called the fault of contrivance. If a man says, I exert myself in all kinds of practice based on my intrinsic pure mind in order to seek complete enlightenment, this is a fault because the nature of complete enlightenment is not attained by contumacy. 第一个叫做作病。作病就是说，如果有一个人他说，哎呀，我本心清净了哈，我做种种的一些修行的行为，我就可以得到我的圆觉，这是一种病态。为什么？因为我们的圆觉自信不是因为你做了什么事情而得到的，是它本来就有的。 So a lot of people will think that, you know, meditation is a practice, chanting is practice, prostration is practice, but cooking is not practice, take shower is not practice, even go to toilet, you know, or taking bus is not practice, this daily shower is not practice. If I want to get enlightened, I have to save most of my time, meditate, chanting the sutra, prostrate. That's real practice. That practice will lead me to my enlightenment. If you have this attitude, what would happen? You increase your discrimination. You want to do this, you don't want to do that. And your enlightenment is going to be partial. Your complete enlightenment is not complete, partial. 第一个作病呢，如果你有这样的一个心态，抱着这样的一个心态说，啊，我一定要努力做什么事情，我才可以，啊，证悟，完全证悟。那很多人就会想说，哇，打坐是修行，念经是修行，拜佛是修行，但是呢，对不起，厨房煮饭，对不起，啊，扫洗手间啊，上厕所啦，洗澡啊，这不是修行。好，所以呢，我要赶快把我大部分的时间都拿来打坐、拜佛，好，这个诵经，好，这些杂碎的义工事情我不做了啦。这你们这些没福报的去做就好了。如果是这样的 attitude 的话呢，那对不起，你不是完全证悟，你是部分证悟。同时我们真正的觉性啊，它不是因为我们做了什么它才得到的，它本来就在那里，因为我们的心有种种的偏见，所以我们看不到它。那如果我们有这样一个作病，有这样的一个心态，要做这个不做这个，我们的眼睛是更模糊，更看不见我们的觉性的。所以第一个叫做作病。So the second one is called the fault of allowing things to be as they are. This will only happen to higher practitioner. So if a man says, I neither wish to sever birth and death, nor seek nirvana. These are no conceptions of samsara and nirvana as truly arising or perishing. I allowed everything to take its course with the various natures of dharma in my quest for complete enlightenment. This is a fault because the nature of complete enlightenment does not come about through accepting things as they are. 第二种呢叫做认病，它只是会，它会发生在更高一个层次的修行人身上哈。他说哈，他会讲说哈，哎呀，没有啊，没有什么，这个没有这个。生死啊跟涅槃啊，生死跟涅槃一样的啊，然后也没有什么轮回啊，哦，跟涅槃啊，就是都一样，那我为什么我也不追求什么，我就是这样啊， 我就是这样啊，我就是只为了用方法而用方法啊。欸，这听起来很高段欸。有时候我们在禅期的时候，师父常跟我们讲，没有，不要就只是用方法，那是因为我们在练习方法。但是如果你在日常生活也用这样的心态哈，那你会出状况。Why is that? Why you will have a problem if you have this attitude? Sometimes during the retreat, 师父有 told us, accept things as they are. Just use the method. No other reason, just use your method. It sounds like similar to this, right? This statement here. But that's because when we are trying to practice the method. But this is not an attitude toward your life. Okay? Why is that? 师父 say, the concept of no birth and death, no nirvana, no hell, no heaven, no duality is through your direct experience, not through your conceptual understanding. If you didn't get to the real, the ultimate, you didn't see your self nature, if you didn't enlighten yet, all these statements are just your knowledge. It's not through your direct experience. You didn't direct experience that there is no birth and death and nirvana, no heaven and hell. Without the direct experience, you only increase your discrimination of not of things is everything are equal. This is another kind of discrimination. 那师父有讲哈，说为什么它是一种禅定呢？因为呢，地狱天宫同一个，生死涅槃同一个呢，这个必须是经过我们直接的体验，真正的直接的体验而来，不是经由知识的或是一种观念上的接受。好，比如说我们要到真正的觉悟以后，才会知道说，才是真正体验到说，这世界上没有不二，才能真正体会到什么是不二的道理。没有地狱天宫，没有好人坏人，没有善与恶，这些是必须要经过直接的体验。如果说我们还没有体验到真正的不二法门，然后呢，我们只是知识上啊、见解上啊，觉得说都一样啊，所以我们不要为了什么，为了开悟而修行啊，因为都一样啊。那如果我们这样的话呢，师父说哈，我们会虚度光阴呐，就是那个方法没有目标，就是虚度光阴，漫无目的的游荡。那如果一个老师哈，当他哎，这个方法用得不错的时候，他就说不为什么啊，就这样啊，那他就是一个禅定。好，师父 say if we attach to this attitude, then we will waste our whole life fooling around.Without, you know, like practice without goal, then you lost your motivation. You lost your the dynamics to practice, and that will happen again. That will happen to a higher level of teacher. That they, when they practice very well, you know, like then they will say, okay.Everything is equal, no duality, but that is a sickness. 那第三个呢，叫做又更高了哈。第三个呢是叫做执病。其实我刚刚应该是先讲英文。So the third one is called the fault of stealing. This is even higher. So if a teacher has higher attainment.Some will attach to the fault of stealing the mind. So if a man says, In my quest for complete enlightenment, if I permanently steal my mind from having any thoughts, then I will attain the quiescence and equality of the nature of all Dharma. This is a fault, because the nature of complete enlightenment does not conform with the stealing of thought, Sutra says. 那第三个叫做止病, 停止的止, 那如果说有人说啊, 他说, 哎呀, 如果我将我的心啊, 经文啊, 他说, 如果有人说, 我的心永习诸念, 所有的念头都把它停止了, 那我的心就会进入极空极, 平等的状态, 那我就可以看到我的圆觉了。 这就是另外更深一层次的执着，因为呢，我们的圆觉不是因为把心停息了才看得见的，才有的。So, you know, if a practitioner or a teacher, when they practice very deep, when they use the method very well, they can easily, you know, get rid of the vexation and steal the mind. They can steal the mind and keep their mind in a very in samadhi for a long period of time. And if they think that's the complete enlightenment, then it becomes an attachment. Because our complete enlightenment is nothing about steal the mind. Okay? But it's a very difficult stage already. Sifu said that if you want to keep your mind still, first, you have to practice diligently. Second, you have to stick with your method all the time. Third, you have to enter into samadhi. That's very difficult. So that only will happen to very advanced practitioners to have this wrong attitude. 那第三个呢，叫做止病，就是说我把我的心停止在不要有烦恼。那如果有一个很有经验或是很高层次的修行人呢，他方法用得非常的好，他一坐下去，妄念烦恼 都没有办法打断它用方法，他这个时候呢，他很容易的就把心停息了，然后他可以把他的心停在那个层次很久。那如果他觉得说，把这个心停在这样的一个阶段，那就是我们的圆觉的话呢，那就错了，因为圆觉跟心的停息是没有关系的，心应该是活活泼泼的，有功能的。 不是停住在那里，那但是师父有说，这个已经不容易了，要到达这个层次呢，第一个，你要很认真的修行，第二个呢，你的方法不能丢，很认真的修行，而且方法不能掉，然后第三个，你要入定，你才有可能达到这个层次，所以是非常不容易的。只是说，如果你认为这个阶段就是最究竟的， 那你就停在那里。However, this is a very important and key stages for a person to get enlightenment. So, usually in the Chan lineage, we always say, if you want to have if you want to be alive, you need to go through a great death. Great death. What that? A great death of your mind before you can before your Buddha mind can be alive. Make sense? Maybe some people can help me. 就是说在我们禅宗里面常常讲，你如果要大活，需要先大死。 是不是？ 那这个阶段呢是处于一个大死的阶段，就是你的心，你的凡夫心烦恼心大死一番之后，你才可能你的菩提心你的佛心才可能大活。所以这个阶段其实是修行你要开悟的前的一个非常重要的阶段，你的心要大死一番，大死一番就是在这个状态。如果你执着它，你就差了一步了啦。你要放下它，然后你的心才能够真正的活。So if you can let go of this great death, the mind is still of your mind, means your mind is on the great death level. If you can let go of you, the stage, then your real mind can be alive. So this is a very important stage to get enlightened. So in the Chan school, we always say that Chan is a very, very alive practice. Your mind is calm, but your wisdom is alive. If at this stage, no vexation, no wisdom either. You have to keep your mind at the still stage, but your wisdom has to come out. So that's why if you attach to it, it becomes a sickness and you will never get to the last stop. Okay. 所以啊，师父常常讲说入定哈，我们的禅修的方法不是要入定，入定很容易产生这样的一个执着，觉得说心止就是我们的真本性，它不是的，心止了，烦恼也止了，但是智慧还没有现前，大死你的烦恼心，大活你的慈悲与智慧。也就是说一个真正开悟的人是活活泼泼的人，他的心常常保持在清净的状态，可是他的智慧跟慈悲是有功能的，活活泼泼的，随时显现的。那这个阶段心止入定的这个状态，心是没有功能的，没有烦恼，但是也没有智慧。如果我们执着在这个地方，那就变成一种禅定了。Then the last stage is called the fourth of annihilation. This happened to even higher state practitioner. If a man says, in my quest for complete enlightenment, if I permanently annihilate all vexation, then my body and mind, not to mention the illusory realms of sense faculties and dust, will ultimately be emptiness and utter nothingness. Everything will be in the state of eternal quiescence. And the sutra said, this is a fault because the nature of complete enlightenment is not annihilation. In the previous stage, the fault of stillness, if you enter samadhi, then you know you have no vexation. That's good. But if you get out of samadhi, your mind starts to active. Your vexation comes back. But at this stage, the practitioner wants to annihilate their mind. So that when they want to disappear or stop to exist, because they think, oh, if I get out of the samadhi, they might start to generate vexation. How about that annihilate everything? So the vexation will never, never arise again. That's very, very subtle. So for a great practitioner, when you go to the mind of complete stillness, then you will face this you will face this issue because you don't know how to generate your wisdom, and you will easily choose to annihilate everything. And some people will say, oh, this person entered nirvana or stopped to exist, and this is the fault. 那第四个是灭病哦，哈，它是发生在更高层次的修行人哈。他说，如果哈，他说，有人说哈，我干脆把我的烦恼身心永远断除，那个身心根尘境界哈。永远不存在，这样我就开悟了，我就可以看到我的圆觉。这是一个非常细微的一种禅病，好，因为我们前面讲止病的时候是入定的时候没有烦恼，但是你出定的时候，当你的心开始活动的时候，你的烦恼又来了。到止病的时候，他会想说，那我的心可不可以？就这样子止息了，就寂灭了，入灭好了，我就再也不起烦恼了，这样我就可以看到我的觉性了。这是一种禅病，它因为呢，你的觉性并不是因为你寂灭或消除了什么而可以看得见的。好，那也就是说，在有的人就会说啊，这个人入灭了，或是他根本就停止存在了，因为他的身心课程从此有灭了，不知道去哪里找这个人了，因为他心也不动了，身也不见了，他对这个外层也没有互动了，那我们去哪里找这个人？不见了。这是一个非常，就是当我们在打坐的时候，当我们的心止息止息到某种程度的时候，你不知道怎么让智慧产生的时候，有的人会选择走这条路，就我不再回到人世间，我不再让我的心动，他就选择会进入止灭的这个状态。那这是以上呢，就是说他分享说在这个章节里面呢，哈，有讲到的这个所谓的四病。 So this is the four faults or four chan sickness that described in the sutra. And the last 10 minutes I would like to share, that's very important part, is how we need to practice in the daily life so that we can prevent this fault and still practice diligently. The first is we have to cultivate our compassion mind and mind of equality. So what should we do? If we can see our enemy as our parent, no discrimination between how you treat your parents and your enemy.And no hatred and no dislike and like, no duality. No duality, but with compassion equally. Then we can prevent fall into these four faults. Okay? Discrimination will make you fall into the extreme.Compassion mind will keep your mind in a wise state, keep your mind active. So generate compassion mind is very important. And I remember our abbot always remind us, don't like what you like and don't dislike what you dislike. That's a practice in our daily life. Something you like, don't like it. Something you dislike, don't dislike it. 那我要花最后的几分钟来跟大家分享。那对啊，这个修行有这么多禅病，还有四相，好麻烦哦，好危险哦。那我们要怎么样修行才不会落入这些邪见跟禅病呢？佛经上最后跟我们讲，他说要修平等慈悲观，不是只有平等观哦，还平等慈悲观。精神上说，观彼冤家如己父母，心无有二。当你看到你的冤家的时候，你要看他就跟你的父母一样的爱他们，没有分别哦。即除诸病，然后于诸法中自他真爱亦复如是，就是你跟我，还有呢，喜欢跟不喜欢呢，也是一样，心无有二，这样才可能会除诸病啊。那套一句我们住持法师常常讲的一句名言哦，好的不喜欢，坏的不讨厌。遇到好的喜欢的东西，不要去抓它；遇到不喜欢的人事物，不要去讨厌它。这就是我们平常要的练习。但是呢，很重要的慈悲心，我们修禅的人一定要发慈悲心，因为它会让我们的心处于活的状态，活生生的状态。不发慈悲心修禅，很容易堕入禅病。你有一个愿心，你有一个慈悲心，你的心就不会断灭。那第二个 the second is we have to make a great vows. A great vows will give us motivation to continue practice, and we will encourage us practice diligently. So, what vows we should make? All the sentient beings in all the world, I would like to help them to see their Buddha nature. However, in this Buddha nature, there is no one that realizes anything. No subjectivity, no objectivity.Get rid of all the phenomena. You have to make this vow so that everyone can see this. And that's very important for practice. 所以第二个提到的是说，不仅慈悲心之外，你还要发一个大愿。这个大愿呢，是我们修行的动力，也是我们恒常心的来源。我们修行最怕没有恒常心。如果你发了一个大愿，你就会有恒常心。所以经文讲哦，他说要怎么发愿呢？你要跟自己讲说，尽于虚空一切众生，我皆令入究竟涅槃。所有的一切众生，我都要让他们能够开悟。见性，然后让他们知道说，其实在这个圆觉自性当中，没有一个开悟的人和觉性，一个觉性让你看到，然后没有你跟我的这种相，也就是说没有什么主观跟客观的我。So, I would like to conclude today's talk. Is this Bodhisattva of Universal Enlightenment, it tells us it's very important to find a good teacher. And we need to see if the teacher has the correct views and to see their daily life, if they are a good teacher or not. And pick a good teacher, and then know that there are four kinds of faults that a practitioner will attach to, and we have to know about it. And as a great teacher, as a teacher, you have to know about it too, so that you won't mislead your students. And for a student, if you find out that something is wrong, and you have to have a awareness about it. And the third, it's easy for us to attach something or generate erroneous views during our practice. So the most safe way to practice is to generate equal and compassionate mind and to make a great vow. 所以我在这边先结论一下今天普觉菩萨讲的前面一个章节，这样怎么样的是一个好的老师，我们一定要找一个好的老师。那用他讲的方法，用正知见去看他教的是不是一个正知见，好，那在平常生活中去观察他是不是一个好的老师。那在修行方法的过程当中，如果你是一个老师，你一定要警觉到千万不要有这样四种禅病，落入于这四种禅病。如果你是一个学生，你要有一个警觉性，当老师教一个东西好像不太对劲的时候，有某种层次的执着的时候，你要能够有觉照力、觉察力，说好像不太对劲了。好，那最后呢，你看好，又讲四相又讲四病，修行的过程中很容易堕入邪见的。那在经文说告诉我们怎么样才能够不堕入邪见呢？第一个要修平等慈悲观，平等无二的，还有呢慈悲的心。然后第二呢要发大愿，就像地藏菩萨不是众地狱未空誓不成佛吗？这边也一样啊，一切众生我都要帮他开悟见性发大愿，这样的话我们的修行就会一路平安。那我今天的这个分享就到这边。 So I will end my talk here. That's chant the verse on merit transfer, Chinese verse.
愿以此功德庄严佛净土，上报四重恩，下济三途苦。若有见闻者，悉发菩提心，尽此一报身，同生极乐国。
May the virtuous merit adorn and glorify the pure land of the Buddhas. Upwardly we repay the four layers of gratitude. Downwardly we alleviate the sufferings of the three destinies. May those who see and hear the Dharma generate holy mind. Exhausting this body of retribution, may we be born in the land of supreme grace. Thank you.